Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1. Would you stand with me, please? Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Young people, listen now. Listen, I will get on you again if you're talking over there. Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1. The Bible says this: "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the worlds, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." This morning, I want to preach a sermon to you that I call, "They Are Not Your Children." They are not your children. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Work in our midst. Holy Spirit of God, help all of us to realize we are your possession. Oh, how precious it is to be a child of God. Now, help everyone to listen. No interruptions. And might we leave here today properly challenged from the Scripture to raise our children for Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Christian, so you understand, you do not belong to you. You belong to God. In this sermon, I'm not trying to minimize the importance of a parent's role in a child's life, but I do want to maximize the truth of who created your child and who's responsible for that creation. I want to maximize the truth as to why they were created. I want to maximize the truth that we are to raise and train them at a higher standard than our own. I got to tell you a story. How many of you have ever heard the name Dr. John R. Rice? Would you raise your hand? Many of you have. Let me tell you who Dr. John R. Rice was. Dr. Rice has been in heaven for many years now. Dr. John R. Rice founded a newspaper called The Sword of the Lord. It's a godly Baptist newspaper that is just, it's just very prominent and influential for years. He started a series of conferences called the Sword of the Lord Conferences. Dr. Rice was an evangelist that traveled all across this great nation and influenced local New Testament churches about soul winning and the Holy Spirit of God. Dr. Rice had passed away. I was serving at a church, and they had a little contest in Sunday school, and whoever won that contest was going to be given the privilege of taking Dr. John R. Rice's car. Now, at that time, Dr. Rice had passed away. His car had been placed in a museum. Now, what I'm telling you, in last generation, this is one of the most powerful and influential men of God in the United States of America. They had taken his car, and they had put it in a museum. So people could look at the car that Dr. Rice had traveled the nation in. Well, what they did was, during this Sunday school campaign, they said, whoever wins the campaign, you're going to get to borrow. We're going to take the car out of storage. We're going to take the car out of the museum, and we're going to let you have it for one whole day to drive it. Well, as a young preacher boy, that tripped my trigger. I wanted to be able to ride around in Dr. Rice's car. Mrs. Owens and I, as we always have, worked together, and our Sunday school class won. We won that Sunday school campaign. And I mean, I was as happy as you could be. I was going to get to cruise town driving Dr. Rice's car. I wish that it would have meant that the power of God would have come upon me because I drove his car, but I found out that wasn't the case. I was still powerless after I drove that car around. But I took Mrs. Owens. We had a date, and we picked up that car, and we were riding around town. Now, I got to be honest with you. I was a little scared of having his car because it was a museum piece, and I'm not even sure why they took the chance of letting someone to have that thing for the whole day. But we got to cruise around, and we went out to eat. You say why? Because that's something I like to do. We went out to shop. You say why? Because that's the only thing Mrs. Owens wants to do. So, oh, but I was careful with it, and I was cautious with it. I was cautious where I took it. I was careful what we put in it. When we put fuel in it, I put the very best of fuel. I wanted to be careful what was on it. You say what? What birds put on it or any deposits of any sort. I was afraid. The radio. I wasn't about to put something bad on that radio because it, why? That was Dr. Rice's car. We were careful, what was inside it and how it was treated. And you say, why all the caution? Because it was precious, it was valuable, and it was not mine. It belonged to somebody else. I realized one day that the same thing was true about the children that I was raising. My kids actually belong to the great God of the universe. You may have a hard time swallowing what I'm going to say today if you're an atheist. But if you really believe God and believe the Bible, you would realize our kids, they're really God's kids. They're God's kids. Let me give you some real quick spiritual logic, if I could. Who created all things? Let me answer that with a Bible verse. Ephesians 3:9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things." God always has been. He is the creator of all things. Just so you know, nothing originated with you. So, who created all things? According to Ephesians 3:9, God did. But let me see if I can add to this thought. Who created the heavens and the earth? Well, according to Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In other words, God is the one that created heaven, and God is the one that created earth, and God had the idea of creating the heaven and the earth, and so God created all things, and specifically, God created the heaven, and specifically, God created the earth. You and I didn't have anything to do with that. You do realize when you walked into the church today, you were walking on borrowed dirt. It didn't belong to you, it belonged to God. You right now are breathing air, so you understand that's borrowed. That's not your air, that's God's air. You say, "I don't believe it." Well, you better hope he doesn't retract it. You'd be sucking air, baby. Well, who created people then? Psalm 102 verse 18 says, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." Who created people? God created all people. You didn't create you. God created you. Well, part of people are men. Who created men? Genesis 1:26 and 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." And it says all the way in verse 27, they were created, male and female created he them. Men, you were created by God. All people were created by God. The heaven was created by God. The earth was created by God. All things were created by God. But God very specifically makes it clear, "I created men." Well, who created woman? Well, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept." By the way, that's exactly what a man's supposed to do. He's supposed to take a nap every once in a while. It's supposed to be a deep sleep. You say, when? A good time to do it. We all have a little Spanish blood in us. It's a siesta right after you eat. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, and if you get old enough, you need to take a nap getting ready for bed at night. And so, but the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man." Although woman came from being created from the rib of man, who created the rib? God did. So God created the woman. God took from man's side a rib, and woman has been a pain in I'm sorry, that's not in my notes here. But ladies, you were created by God. According to the Bible, men, you are created by God. We were all people were created by God. Heaven was created by God. Earth was created by God. All things, according to Ephesians 3:9, were created by God. But let's go on. Who in the world might have created little men and little women? And I'm not talking about people rich heart's height here. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Eve knew when she gave birth, that baby came because of God. Now, folks, if you're a scientist, you may want to try to refute the fact that God did the creating. You did not, so you know, you did not evolve from a monkey. A few of you look like maybe, but the truth of the matter is you didn't come from a monkey. God created you. It was a miracle of Almighty God, and Eve knew. Eve knew. She knew that baby that had been given her said, that's from the Lord. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, so you know, he said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. It was a little man. We seen a little man up here earlier. It's a little man, but that's where little men and women come from. They came from the Lord. Now, let me explain something to you. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 127. I want you to listen to Psalm 127, verse number 3. Because we had a baby dedication, the church bulletin today, that was the verse that's all the way on the front of the bulletin. The Bible says this, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The word heritage in the Hebrew language is the word heirloom. Heirloom. An heirloom is something passed down from one father to the next. Something of great value to the original father. Your children, folks, were created by God and passed on to you. They are originally His, and you inherited them from Him. That's what the Bible means when it says children are an heritage. They started with the Heavenly Father. They're of great value. He passed from one dad to an earthly dad what belonged to him, and it's an heirloom. They are originally His, and you inherited them from Him. Yeah, let me explain. He could have done it without you. He already proved that. He created Adam without Adam or Eve. Adam and Eve did not have to buy Mother and Father's Day gifts or cards other than for God Himself. So God's able. God didn't have to have you, and Mom, God didn't have to have you. He's already proven, I can create the human race. I don't have to have a man and a woman to help me get it done. But God chose to do it that way. God said, these are mine, and I am going to pass them down as an heritage. I'm going to pass them down as an heirloom to you. He's given you the honor and privilege of helping Him to care for His creation. His creation. You say, she has her mother's eyes. He's got his dad's nose. In some cases, that's not good news. But he's got his dad's nose. He's got his mother's eyes. That's all wonderful. But let me tell you something. More than an earthly mom, more than an earthly dad, the touch of Almighty God is upon that child because they were created in His likeness. In His likeness. Listen to Malachi chapter 2, verse number 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now listen, God is the one that gives us our children. And so, think about it for a second. Who created all things? Well, according to Ephesians 3:9, God did. But wait, who created heaven? Genesis 1:1, God did. Who created earth? Genesis 1:1, God did. Who created all people? Psalm 102, verse 18, God did. Who created men? Genesis 1:26, God did. Who created woman? Genesis 2:21, God did. Who created the little men and women? According to Genesis 4:1, God did. And children, according to the Bible, are an heritage of the Lord, meaning they are an heirloom. One dad passes down to someone else something of his that is of great value. Folks, let us all take it as a personal challenge and let us all understand something. We have a responsibility to raise our children to honor the one who created them. I got to tell you something. In this day and age, you know what? And I'm sad for us. You know, the government thinks they own our children. Fooey on that. The government doesn't own our children. Government didn't give us our kids. Do you know that there are actually countries in the world where the government tells people how many kids they can have? That's bad news. That's not their business. It's not their business. But, hey, and the government doesn't own our children. But you better be careful. You better remember where your kids came from. They're an heirloom. They started with God. And then God entrusted those children into your life. And look, you may not understand it all, but it is God that made that precious little baby possible inside your body, ladies. Men, I'm sure you're proud that you have a little boy or you have a little girl, and thank God for it, but you better stop and realize you wouldn't have that child if it were not for Almighty God. And it is our responsibility to raise our kids to honor the one who created them. You and I, as Christians, we are the possession of Jesus Christ. We're to train them the way God would have them to be trained. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. What's that telling us? We're to train our children in the way they should go. Now, wait a minute. Didn't tell them to train them the way you think they should go. You say, well, in what way should they go? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Parents, you may tend to think I'm a little old-fashioned, and really, I consider that as a compliment. You may tend to think that I'm a little outdated, but I'm going to make something very clear to you. Almighty God created our children, and he didn't create them and give them to us and say, go do what you want now. Hey, do whatever you want with them. You just make the best of it. No, he gave us an instruction manual called the Bible, and he said, now you train your children who I gave you. They're an heritage, they're an heirloom passed down from me to you. You're to rear them the way the Creator would have them to be reared. They're to be taught to trust in the Lord. It's not the way we want to raise them, it's the way He wants them raised. Train them according to the child rearing manual. Not Dr. Spock's junk. I gave all the moms and dads that were a part of the baby dedication service, I gave them an album called Child Rearing. It's got old 30 or 40 sermons in it that I preached on child rearing through the years. I hope you'll listen to it. I hope it'll help you. But let me tell you something. More important than listening to a bunch of preachers preaching on the subject of child rearing, you better figure out what God expects you to do as a parent, and you better do it. And God, you say, how am I going to figure that out? You're going to get into the Bible. You say, boy, I'll tell you what, Pastor, there's just not very many good books out there on child rearing. Here I've got one that's so thick, it's incredible, and it's got what you need in it. You should not, you say, well, you know, I listen to Dr. Phil. Well, you can listen to Dr. Phil if you want to, but you better start listening to Dr. Jesus. He said, well, Oprah said, well, I'm glad, I'm sure she said something good, but you better be listening to Jesus, and you better figure out what God wants for that child, and you better figure out how God wants it done. He's the one that created them. They are His, and they, as an heirloom, as a prized possession, were passed on to us. We're to train them in the way they should go in life. Not only that, get this. According to the Bible, we're to train them for His pleasure. His pleasure. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, includes little boys and girls. It says, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy, His, pleasure, they were created. Do you know, according to the Bible, now if you're a Bible believer, again, if you're an atheist, you may have a hard time believing what I'm saying. But if you're not an atheist, then you're going to see very clearly children were created by God, and they were created by God for His pleasure, according to the Scripture. In other words, what you do with your kids, He's supposed to like it. It's not what you like. You say, well, I'm their parents. You understand something. You were given the privilege to raise that child by the Creator. Your child originated with God and was passed on to you. Let me tell you something. Let me warn you. You get cocky with God about your child. You pull your child away from God and knowingly do it. Just as easily as God can bring a child into this life, God can take a child out. Say, you threatening me? No, I'm just trying to tell you. Don't they die all the time? I think it's a dangerous thing to look at it and say, well, God ain't going to tell me what to do with my child. You might be shocked what God's going to tell you to do. You don't bully God. We're to train them in the way they should go. You say, what's the way they should go? God's way, the Bible way. We are to train them, according to Revelation 4:11, for His pleasure. That means it's not what I get pleasure out of in their life. And might I say this also, it's not what they get pleasure out of in this life. Parents, if you're going to do right, there are going to be times when things that your kids want to do or would pleasure to do, as a godly parent, you're going to say, you can't do that. That would not please God. I still believe parents are supposed to tell their kids certain things that are supposed to be done, and they're supposed to be done. You see, we have been given a privilege and an opportunity to parent in God's stead. Did you know that I pastor this church in God's stead? I am to do for my church what Jesus would do if He were the pastor. You are to be a mom that would do for your child what Jesus would do if He were the mom. You are to do for your child what Jesus would do if He were the dad. You have stepped in humanly to rear God's kids. We're to be raising our kids for God, who ought to be their ultimate heavenly Father. It's not what you like. It's not what they like. We, our kids, are to be reared so that they are pleasant for God. But not only that, we're to train them to praise Him. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. See, I'm to train them according to the Bible. I'm to train them in a way that brings pleasure to God, not to me, not to them. Now, let me tell you, if you love God, if you'll train your kids to bring pleasure to God, it will bring pleasure to you. But it's not all about you. It's all about God. Now it says we're to train them to praise Him. I'd be teaching your kids not to use God's name in vain. God's last name does not start with a D. You better encourage them to be listening to and singing the right kind of music so it praises God. You better, hey, let me explain this, and I'll make somebody mad here. You should not choose your child's career because it would puff you up as a mom or a dad. Your child ought to want to be what God wants him to be. Say, why? Your child was not given to you to give you some vain glory so you could run around and tell everybody how wonderful you are. They're to praise God. What they do with their life is to praise God. It's to honor God. That's why God gave them to you. So that means that, hey, and we all, that doesn't mean that every child is going to be called to be a missionary or every child is going to be called to be a pastor or a pastor's wife. But I'll tell you this, every parent ought to be willing for their child to be a missionary or willing for their child to be a preacher or willing for their child to go maybe off to the mission field. And you say, well, I don't want that for my child. You forgot whose they are. God didn't give them to you for you to retract your kids away from Him and retract your kids away from church and retract your kids away from the Bible. God gave them to you trusting you that you would do the right thing. We train them according to the Bible. We train them for His pleasure. We train them to praise Him. We're to train them to bring glory to Him. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, for he hath formed thee. God created a child named Jacob. Then it says in Isaiah 43:7, 6 verses later, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Your child is to glorify God. It's to glorify God's name, not your name, God's name, not even their name, God's name. You know that children, teenagers, all of us, at all ages, we're to praise God. We're to glorify God. That's why we were created. You know, God didn't just create us, throw us out on the earth and say, okay, go do what you want. I'll see you when you die. That's not how it works. He wants to see you every day that you live. We're to live our lives bringing glory to His name. Oh, parents, let me tell you something. I can associate with this so quickly. When your kids get old enough to get into trouble, which I think is about 3 days old. Parents, if you have any dignity about you at all, you walk around just half freaked out what your kids are going to do, how they're going to embarrass you. What dumb thing are they going to do? You know, it's probably harder for the parent to go into the principal's office than it is for the teenager. Because the parents are just thinking, oh, the humiliation of all this. What is everybody going to think? And it's not so much what's everybody think of my kid, it's what's everybody think about me. I'm a bad dad. I'm a bad mom. I didn't do something right. Let me tell you something, folks, and we all understand that. Everybody here, if you're a conscientious parent at all, the last thing you want to do is see some Sunday school teacher coming at you saying, I'd like to talk to you about your child in private. And you go, oh, what'd they do now? How bad could it be? They're acting like their mother again. we hate that. You and I as parents, we try to guard and protect in regard to this thing of the humiliation of all. But let me tell you all something, folks. Really, it's not your humiliation and it's not mine we ought to be concerned about. We ought to be really concerned about the Heavenly Father because those children belong to Him. You ought to want your children to bring honor and glory to His name. It's not, did they humiliate me or did they humiliate you? And believe me, they're going to get that done. Children were given to us to keep us humble in life, and they do a wonderful job knocking you down. But I got to tell you, it's really all about the Heavenly Father. We're to train them to be rewarding to Him. The Bible says, listen to Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. His reward. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people talk about Psalm 127 and they think it's all about mom and dad. It's all about the Heavenly Father. It's all about Him. Our kids are to bring reward to Him. Our kids are to glorify Him. Our kids are to praise Him. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You won't get that done by not having your kids in church. And if I may, just be bold enough to say, don't send them. Come with them. Don't do as I do, do as I say. No, you ought to be in church. And the right kind of a church, where they'll be taught right. They'll taught the Bible. They'll hear sermons like this. You see, the scripture tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. That word, heritage, is heirloom. The Heavenly Father, they belong to Him. They were passed on to us to rear in His stead. They are to be trained according to the Bible for His pleasure, to praise Him, to glorify Him, and so that they are rewarding to the Creator, the ultimate Heavenly Father. That is what child rearing is truly all about. If you're here today and the Heavenly Father is not your Heavenly Father, let me tell you something. That means this. If you're not born again, could I recommend to you that you get saved? If you are born again, can I recommend to you that you make sure you take a good long look at this thing of our kids? Our kids are His kids, and we ought to be doing right by them so that they are following His instruction. And I'll make you a promise. You follow God's instruction with you youngins, that's the best instructions you could find. Things will turn out far better. Hard for moms and dads to accept. Did you know God loves your child more than you love your child? God knows better for your child than you know. If you think, well, He does not, you're in danger of rebellion against the Creator. I'd be careful. He knows best. He is our Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. Are you born again? If you died today, do you know for a fact that you would go to heaven? If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I invite you to the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know for a fact I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I know that I'm saved. If I died today, I know for a fact I would go to heaven. I know that, and I'll testify to that fact here in church. I'll not lie to God. I'll not lie to myself. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I'm saved. I know it. You may put your hand down. If you're not saved, I'd recommend to you that you get saved. Moms and dads, one of the best things you could ever do for your child is get saved if you're not saved. Then you'll understand the child-rearing book, which is the Bible. You'll understand it far better that way. If you're here today and you're a mom or a dad, and those of you that work with youngins, just the little ones, let me challenge you. Remember what we do. We're not doing it for everybody here on earth. We're doing it for a higher calling. The kids deserve heavenly training. They deserve the best. They deserve they deserve stronger than your mind and my mind, but the mind of God. Oh, we need God involved in helping the little ones to turn out right and to grow up and to do right. Hey, you want to turn America around? You won't do it at the White House. You'll do it at your house and at the church house and get the Bible involved in our child rearing again. We need praying mamas. We need daddies that will show up at church and do right. Let's help our kids to live right and do right and survive in this world. You do that by getting close to God. Who here would say, Pastor, maybe your mom, dad, or grandma, or grandpa, you'll say, I certainly want the children that are in my prayers or in my influence, I want them to be reared at that level that God is honored in their lives, and God has spoken to my heart about that today. Would you raise your hand? Their hands up already. God bless you. Amen. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. This is what's going to happen. In just a second, I'm going to turn to the pianist. She's going to begin to play. When she begins to play, we're going to stand. When she stands, we're then going to have a time of altar call. It's not time to walk in or walk out, but if you need to come and pray, if you need to be saved, you come. If you need to, if maybe you're a mom or a dad, you say, I really need God's help with the rearing of my child or my children, you come and pray for a second. If you're a grandparent, you come if you want to pray for a second. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. That's what you ought to do. If you've been saved, And you're an adult, you'd like to be baptized, we could baptize you today. If you've been saved and you've been baptized and you'd like to come and join membership with the church today, you certainly may come as well. Here we go. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you need to be born again, you come. If you need to pray, you come. If you're going to be baptized, we have some that will be baptized today. You just come right on through and we'll get you ready. If you need the altar, you come.